The views expressed in this program are those of the participants.
Mohammed!
They all named Mohammed, sir.
Yes, of course. I must remember to use last names.
Hussein! Yes, sir!
God's sake. You!
Isn't that your brother?
Hussein!
Why is your brother voting?
It's not his fault, my leader. He is the campaign manager.
What? For who?
Mohammed Hussein!
Yes, sir!
Quiet!
Welcome, everyone. It is Wednesday, May 27th, 2026. I'm Bob Metz, and this is Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. Join us for an hour of discussion that's not right-wing. It's Just Right.
Fade into color, color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be alright.
Here's a May 16 headline from The Guardian, a paper apparently dedicated to guarding liars from truths, but which nonetheless is considered to be one of the left's more prestigious publication. And the headline reads, Tommy Robinson tells tens of thousands at London rally to prepare for a Battle of Britain. Turnout down at Second Unite the Kingdom march featuring Islamophobic and ethno-nationalist hate speech and flyers. Written by Geraldine McKelvey, it reads, and I quote, The far-right activist Tommy Robinson told tens of thousands of supporters to prepare for the Battle of Britain during a rally in London on Saturday. Robinson drew tens of thousands of supporters onto the streets of central London for the second year running in an event where Islamophobic and ethno-nationalist hate speech and flyers were distributed to the crowds. Organizers claimed that millions had attended his Unite the Kingdom march, but police estimated the number of demonstrators to be far lower, at about 60,000. Last September's march was attended by 150,000 people, end quote. Yeah, right. And the BS just continues unabated. Last time I checked, estimated crowds were being pegged at around 500,000 or more, which seems to be much more in line with both the reports and images being seen and heard online. But any way you look at it, it was history in the making. And that history is already being rewritten by those on the left in a desperate attempt to silence voices on the right. But what always continues to fascinate me when looking at the political zeitgeist of the moment is how critical and unavoidable the whole use of the labels left and right are in winning the war for freedom or losing the war to tyranny. For proof, just listen to UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer, whose voice will be the first you hear right after our reminder that you can write us at feedback@justrightmedia.org. Hear us on WBCQ and on Channel 292 Shortwave. Follow and like us on your favorite podcast platform and visit us at justrightmedia.org, where you can access all of our social media links, archive broadcasts, and the support button that makes it easy for you to support the show. Because as always, your financial support is appreciated and is what makes this show possible.
Tomorrow's march in London is a reminder of what we're up against in the battle of our values. The organisers, including convicted thugs and racists, are peddling hatred and division, plain and simple. And you'll see it again on Saturday, at a march designed to confront and intimidate this diverse city and this diverse country. That is why this Labour government will block far-right agitators from travelling to Britain for that event. Because we will not allow people to come to the UK to threaten our communities and spread hate on our streets.
When I first heard those words being spoken by Keir Starmer, my first impulse was to dismiss them as some kind of AI-generated meme. Every word was so detached from my own understanding and knowledge of the May 16 Unite the Kingdom rally that to frame the event the way Starmer did was, for me as a Canadian, deja vu all over again. Starmer's statement literally echoed that of former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's outrageous threats against the Canadian truckers' convoy, which occurred back in early 2022 regarding the COVID mandates. And as with Starmer, Trudeau's diatribe was a direct attack on freedom of association and on freedom of speech. And as with Starmer, it was complete BS regarding what Trudeau was saying about those attending the event. The very same BS still being spouted by the left, because it still seems to be having a powerful effect on the public, and in particular, in intellectually and morally disarming and demoralizing the right. Far right, racist, Nazi, all descriptions of leftist ideology. And the right consistently lets the left get away with it, all because of its fear of being labeled right in any supposed variant of that polarity, whether extreme, far, racist, or just a wing. However, I'm finally starting to see a glimmer of hope in this regard. And in his May 19 YouTube presentation, Zach Hoyt, most widely known as Asmongold, titled his show, Is Britain Back? He in turn was reacting to yet another YouTuber, Nick Shirley, as Shirley walked through the crowds in London, speaking to the protesters in attendance there, including Tommy Robinson himself. So, coming up next, some very interesting observations and shifts in attitude regarding the issue of being labeled right, in a trend that just might be moving in the right direction.
Nick Shirley made a video about the big protest. And people have asked me a lot to watch this. We're going to take a look at it. We're going to see it.
They've imported hostile, violent men into our communities, and then they've tried to smear us as racists or extremists for wanting protection of our women.
This is the revolt. This is the peasants revolting.
Uh-huh. He needs to stop branding hard-working Brits as far right. We just want to be heard, and he's ignoring us.
At the end of the day, do you think a civil war is inevitable here?
Yeah, it's been going on for years. I don't recognise my country no more.
Keir Starmer is like an actual traitor.
Today we're here.
I agree with that. See, you got that guy right there, that Viking. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's my guy.
Streets of London. We had the Big Ben right behind us here today, and today it's set to be one of the biggest marches in the history of the United Kingdom. Hundreds of thousands of people are set to come in from all across the United Kingdom to come into the streets of London today. Uh-huh. Right now, over 4,000 police officers have been employed into London, and they're using
4,000
new facial recognition cameras to track who comes in and out of the protests.
Facial recognition,
that has never
too.
Happened before, and at all of the major stations like King Cross, they have new cameras that have facial recognition. They're tracking quite literally everyone.
Wait, look at all those cameras. 1, 2, 3, 4 cameras? Oh my God.
That the facial recognition, and they're tracking quite literally everyone that comes into this protest called the Unite the West March here in the streets of London. How do you guys feel about what your Prime Minister said about those that attend this march today?
He's a disgrace. He's an absolute disgrace. So he is. I'm not far
fucking
right.
Base.
I don't have a criminal record. I'm a pensioner. I fear for my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. And what do you fear for your grandchildren?
Because of all the illegal immigrants that's coming here and they're getting everything going. I have two sons, can't even get on the property market.
And why do you think Keir Starmer would call people like you racist for...
He's frightened. He's on his way out anyway, and the sooner the better.
Your message to Keir Starmer?
Resign for the country's good, you tyrant.
He's calling you guys racist for being out here today.
He's full of shit, as we all know.
Yeah. Now he's made it here to the start of the march. You can hear the chants already. Everyone is yelling, Keir Starmer is a wanker.
Damn.
Look at this. Thousands of people in the streets right now.
I don't see how, like, the messaging isn't more obvious when you have one group of people that are flying the flags of that country and you have another group of people that are flying flags of foreign countries. I wonder which group you should side with if you want the best interest for that country. It's insane that people can't see this obvious distinction and recognize it for what it is.
Keir Starmer is a wanker. We have Keir Starmer on top of a... right now.
How
are you doing? Keir Starmer on top of a...
He's a...
Do you feel like this is the Great Britain you grew up in?
No. Do you think it's a Great Britain we grew up in?
No.
Not so great.
No.
It's an embarrassment to the world, what this government's doing.
What do you guys think about Keir Starmer blocking journalists from coming into the United Kingdom?
It's disgusting, isn't it? Yeah, it's only for one thing, because they say things you don't like. You say things Keir Starmer don't like, he likes to block you. I'm surprised you managed to sneak through, to be fair, mate. I've just been
watching actually,
you,
yeah.
In Cuba.
I'm a bit surprised as well that they let me in.
I know, I don't know, you managed to sneak
through.
And
how come you think here they're attacking freedom of speech?
Well, I know why. It's because they've got their own narrative, haven't they? I mean, I don't go all into it, but it all stems from after the war. They started implementing all these systems of anti-racism, and it just come to a point now where white man's not listened to. It's not about black or white, but native people are just not listened to in the country anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to put it this way, there's a Sikh guy stabbed a white kid the other day, and the police arrested the white kid because mm-hmm. the Sikh guy said he said something racist. They handcuffed him, he sat on the floor, bled out and died. Couple of days ago, somebody Novak, his name is, young college kid, look it up, mate.
And what brings you guys out here today?
Well, you know what it's like, mate. It's tyranny in this country, absolute diabolical. They're against us English.
Future, my friend. You can't keep pouring one country into this one. They've got different cultures, different ideologies, and different ways of living. We want to keep our culture because we keep pouring in these different cultures, these different religions into this country. Yep. And we've seen how the Islam goes. You spread Islam across the world. You spread Islam across Europe. It destroys everything on its path, on its way. I've got nothing against refugees coming in, as long as they're vetted and we understand who they are and what they are. Come and respect our culture, come and respect our people. That's all we ask.
And Keir Starmer has called the organizers of the event thugs and racist and has said that you guys are pushing division and hate here inside the country.
Keir Starmer shouldn't even be there. He's hanging on by
shouldn't
a
even be
and
there.
He knows he is. It's his last chance for a bit of for his last chance to stand against us people. He's been calling us far right fascists and Nazis. Can you see any far right fascists and Nazis around here? I see grandparents, I see parents, I see soldiers, I see everyone out. It's my grandson. We're not far right, we're not fascists, we're not Nazis, we're just people who want a future for this country, and that's all we're after.
Are calling people like you a racist for being out here today?
I was an NHS worker. I worked for the NHS. So I was a medical emergency nursing assistant. I lost my job for sharing a post from the government website how much asylum seekers get when they come to the UK.
Wow.
I was sacked for gross misconduct straight away. Never had a complaint about me ever in my life. So I'm here to support my nurses.
So you've been attacked by the government for speaking out against mass immigration?
Yes. I was an NHS nursing assistant. I was a medical emergency. And I lost my job through freedom to speak. And I'm going to be here. I'm going to show freedom to speak in the UK. And we're going to show it today.
Your sign says...
Nick Sherman!
Ooh.
Oh, hello. My goodness. Hello, Nick Sherman.
Nice to meet you. Your sign says... We did not vote for open borders, digital ID, higher taxes, two-tier policing, loss of free speech, pedophiles in politics, higher cost of living, Starmer out, restore.
They got a lot in common with them.
What's your message to Keir Starmer today?
Keir Starmer's a wanker.
I think that these people, one of the things that it seems like they're doing is that they're really attached to Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer is simply a symptom of a disease. Eventually, Keir Starmer will leave. And this problem will remain. So as much of a negative aura retard loser he isn't really the problem. It's the idea that's the problem.
It
needs to go.
It needs to stop branding hard-working Brits as far right. We just want to be heard, and he's ignoring us.
And why do you think Keir Starmer and your politicians are calling people out here racist, saying this is pushing division here inside the United Kingdom?
I wish I knew the answer to that question, but I really don't. I ask myself this all the time. All I know is he's not serving the British public, and these numbers prove it.
Entire streets of Whitehall all the way to Trafalgar are full of people. And what does this say about the current state of the United Kingdom? What do the Britain people want?
It says that the public are ready. We're ready.
Right?
We've been asleep for too long.
Ready for what?
We're ready to fight for our country. Right? We're ready. And what you're witnessing now is a formation and an organisation. We're going to spread this through every town and city, and we're getting ready for the Battle of Britain in 2029. Our next election is the most important election in this country's history, because the enemy are no longer invading on the borders where they are, but the enemy's here. They're here. They're here, and they're betraying us.
Why has your government betrayed the people of Great Britain?
They've tried to replace us, just like they did in Minnesota. Why do you think Somalia is the hottest place in the world, yeah? They're living in Minnesota. They didn't choose there. They were put there. They were put there. So think what they've done there, and think of what you exposed, and think that they all knew it was happening, but they turned a blind
this
eye.
This guy knew.
They turned a blind eye to them raping their way through our country. Because they're importing voters. They're replacing us.
Damn.
They have 6-7 kids. We don't. They're bringing people in to replace us that are loyal to them, that want to be dependent on the state. You're witnessing today the counter-revolution.
The counter-revolution, civil war, come 2029 if nothing happens.
We need to win at the ballot box in 2029. Now, to do that, you have to get the 50% of non-voters. You need to captivate them, electrify them, and give them back that sense of identity and belief that they matter. Today, everyone here knows they matter.
And your message to the rest of the West, for those that aren't here, that don't see what's happening every day here in Britain, what would you say the reality of life is?
The reality of life is women are scared, they can't walk the streets, our daughters are being raped, they took the safety of our nation. They've imported hostile, violent men into our community. And then they've tried to smear us as racists or extremists for wanting protection of our women. And Jesus. To the rest of the West, unite the kingdom. Look at that. Read that on that side. It says, unite the kingdom, unite the West. Because this is a Western civilizational problem. They're attacking us.
He's correct about this. This is a problem that's happening inside of Australia. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in the United States. And it's happening in a lot of these European countries like Germany, France, the UK. Not all of them. It seems like Poland is more resilient. But in general, it's happening inside of the West, and it's happening. There was a little bit of it that was happening in Japan, and then the far right party won like a super majority in the parliament, and I feel like that kind of just disappeared. But you know, that's at least my understanding.
All of everyone out here is racist today.
Yeah, no one cares what they say, right? Look around you. Look at the diversity. This is a lovely crowd, man.
You guys are out here. You're raising up the cross.
Yes.
Starmer's calling people like you guys far right.
Oh, Starmer, he needs to go. There's something dodgy about him.
What's dodgy about Starmer?
Everything. I mean, like, he's a globalist. Keir Starmer, I mean, if we were far right, how many people can you spot of all different nationalities here? We've got Iranians, we've got...
I think that the mistake that they... Like, one of the things is that trying to remove the label of far right is still operating inside of their optical frame. It doesn't really matter what they call it, whatever you want, right? I mean, trying to prove them wrong means that the accusation has value. You have to transcend that. You have to go, obviously, beyond that.
My grandparents fought for this country. My cousins, my relatives, my uncles, my aunts, friends have died for this country. For what? For what? For these rich arseholes over there.
Over in Parliament. And you think those that are in Parliament, you think they represent
the
people?
They are the most hated idiots this country's ever seen.
And why do you think they continue to get elected?
Because I think they like it. I think they want the division. Look at this. Every race, creed, colour, sexuality, people from all over the world. Look at all the different flags. This is united. This is love. This is everyone, brothers and sisters in arms, for one cause. Freedom.
What a great way to encapsulate what the Unite the Kingdom rally was all about in a single word. But now consider the damage done to those on the right, those fighting for freedom. Most of them are completely unaware that to support freedom is something that places you in the right political polarity. You can hear it by how defensively they react to being labeled right-wing or far-right. He needs to stop branding hard-working Brits as far-right. We just want to be heard, and he's ignoring us. Starmer is a disgrace. I'm not far-right. I don't have a criminal record. I'm a pensioner. I fear for my grandchildren. Starmer has been calling us far-right racists and Nazis. Can you see any around here? I see grandparents. We're not far-right Nazis. We're just people who want a future for this country. That's all we're after. So all of these folks are falsely associating the right, quote-unquote, with criminality, racism, Nazis, and political violence. They have effectively been disarmed by the left in the eternal war of definitions and words. The first rule in effective politics is define or be defined. Freedom and capitalism and the principles on which Western civilization is based are all to be found exclusively on the right. There is no political spectrum because it's a manufactured fiction by the left, and the only other political polarity is the left, where tyranny resides. But here's the really shocking observation that caught me pleasantly by surprise. When Asmongold said that these protesters are really too attached to Keir Starmer, who's merely a symptom of a disease. Eventually, Starmer will leave and the problem will remain. He isn't really the problem. It's the idea that's the problem, he says. And that's absolutely correct. He doesn't name that idea that he's talking about, but it's collectivism, whether in the form of socialism, fascism, communism, and all are to be found on the left. And then Asmongold made this stunning observation. He said he thought it was a mistake that trying to remove the label of far right is still operating inside of the left's optical frame. Call it whatever you want, but trying to prove the left wrong means that the accusation has value. You have to transcend that. You have to go beyond that. Exactly right. And more to the point, just right. And what it means to transcend or go beyond the pejorative label of far right, we shall explain and describe, but not before you first hear this even more stunning statement on the issue of left and right. This time from YouTuber Nick Shirley during his recent briefing with President Donald Trump at the White House.
Please, go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Nick Shirley. I'm 23 years old. I'm a 100% independent YouTube journalist. And over the past year or so, I've been able to go to 15 countries. I've hung out with people in the gangs of Brazil and the favelas and the prisons of Secat. But yet the most dangerous places I have been here in the United States, unfortunately. And I've had the opportunity to show people about the protest Antifa here in the United States, and there's nothing organic about what they are doing here in the United States. I've watched people be bussed in from states. I've watched the same lady at a protest in Atlanta be bussed to the protest in DC and then in New York City. There's nothing that is honest about what they are doing. And they have signs. I've seen the same signs here in DC and in London as well. It's a big organization and corporation that they're running. And people may wonder, like, what's the threat to us as Americans if we go? Well, you'll be labeled as a fascist, you'll be labeled as a Nazi, and they'll wish death upon you, because they wish death upon me. And just last week in Portland, Oregon, I watched a lady get trapped in her car, surrounded by Antifa, and her sister messaged me after seeing the video. She said, the only reason I think my sister was safe is because you were there recording. I also was chased out by a member of Antifa who said he would smoke me, and next thing he knew, a DHS sniper had lasers on his chest. If he was not there, who knows what would have happened that day. These people are very dangerous, and people wonder how they're able to do it. It's the reason is because these cities are not enforcing the law. And why should these people be worried if the law is not being enforced? And we are not far right, nor are we far wrong. We're just right. And the truth about what's happening here in America with these groups is very dangerous, and I thank you, Mr. President, and your administration as well for acknowledging that.
Thank you very much. It's too bad you have to go through it.
I know, it's a little crazy, right, Mr. President?
Well, you're going to get to the bottom of it, so it's a very important thing you're doing. Thank you very much.
So did you hear that? We are not far right, nor are we far wrong. We're just right. Wow. Is it time to file a copyright claim? Or would that actually belong to the writer of Goldilocks and the Three Bears? You know, not too hot, not too cold, but just right. But I wish more freedom-oriented people would come to this realization. For Nick Shirley to make that kind of distinction requires some conscious or subconscious awareness of the natural political polarity and of the inadequacy of any kind of quote-unquote spectrum in being able to attach any meaning to the political terms that are far out, so to speak. As if one could measure some kind of distance from some kind of location that we call the right. So here's what the right must do in order to transcend or go beyond the pejorative label of far right. First, understand that the right represents freedom and capitalism exclusively. Second, recognize that fascism, racism, Nazism are all collectivist terms associated exclusively with the left. And let's be clear about this. By definition, it is not possible for someone on the right to be a racist, because those on the right only relate to others as individuals, and not as representatives of some kind of group defined by whoever's interest that group represents. You have to have a collectivist mindset before you can even think about race, color, creed, ethnicity, religion, etc., as being the defining characteristic and identity of other individuals. This is only possible for those on the left. And third, the right should use its identity as being on the right as a political weapon to destroy the left at its own definition game. This is a powerful weapon. Think of the outright intellectual and moral power those on the right would have if they weren't wasting their time, as Asmongold put it, trying to prove the left wrong by denying that they're a racist or far right or Islamophobe or any of the labels that the left owns and projects against the right. So instead of denying what they are not, those on the right should be proudly proclaiming what they are. Just right, on the side of freedom, capitalism, individualism, justice, free speech, and all of those values that the left explicitly and routinely campaigns against. And use the political label of left as a weapon against the left by defining the left for what it is, a death cult, opposed to every value and condition necessary for the betterment of human life. The left supports deindustrialization, censorship, globalism, communism, socialism, fascism, and a whole host of evils demonstrable in both theory and practice. So now with the left-right label consideration taken into account, when it comes to Britain's Unite the Kingdom rally, essentially led and organized by Tommy Robinson, it becomes inevitable that all roads eventually lead to the uncomfortable issue of Islam. And that shouldn't be surprising, given that this is one issue on which Robinson is most widely known, from speaking out against Islamic quote-unquote rape gangs, referred to as grooming gangs by state officials, and against Islam's political agenda that would create a theocracy through Sharia law, to say nothing of its agenda to destroy individual rights and freedoms. And to kick off that controversy, in his May 20th YouTube presentation entitled "Islamists Enraged About What Glenn Beck Said About Islam in Britain," YouTuber Pesach Walecki cites yet another confrontation between Piers Morgan and Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus, who attended the London rally.
So a little less than a week ago, there was a massive rally in London, the UK Unite the Kingdom rally that was put together by Tommy Robinson and a whole bunch of his allies. And anywhere from 60,000 is the lowest estimate in the mainstream media to hundreds of thousands of people attended there. It was a beautiful rally, apparently. I know a fair number of people who were there. And Jonathan Conricus, Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus, he's a reserve lieutenant colonel or retired. And he used to be, after a distinguished combat career, he then became a spokesman for the IDF. Many of you have probably seen him before. And he's currently with the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He traveled to England at the time and attended the rally and then went on Piers Morgan, where Piers attacked him for his attendance at that rally. And in that interview, Jonathan said something very sharp and very important that I want to drill down on. So I want to play you this clip. It's a little less than 4 minutes long of Jonathan. And then I'm going to give you my comments. And I have a bit more to say about the rally after that. So let's take a look. Jonathan Conricus at the on the rally in London on Piers Morgan. Here we go.
I was happy to be among the crowd of the Unite the Kingdom march. I found it very enjoyable.
Did you feel you were amongst like-minded souls there, Jonathan?
I felt that I was amongst patriots. I mean, they are... Yeah, I saw a lot of British patriots. I saw a lot of people who were marching with their own flags and being proud and happy to live in a free democratic society.
When you saw one of the speakers do this, Kelly Jean King, let's look at this.
It's not too late to get Islam out of that building. It is not too late to get Islam out of every single official office in this country.
You feel comfortable now? Now you've seen that? That's one of the speakers at the event.
Well, she didn't say Muslims, did she? She said specifically said Islam. And I think there's a very big difference here. Had she said Muslims, as in people with beliefs, I would have had
an issue. What if she said Jews or people who practice Judaism?
Well, she didn't say Jews or she didn't say people.
You're spitting hairs, John.
No, no.
You know you are.
No, I'm not. And I think that's a
vital point. So she said we've got to get Judaism out of every form of parliament, well, I don't at know local or state level, national level in the country?
I don't know that there is any Jewish authority in British politics. I don't know that Jews exercise.
Well, there's no Islam authority in British politics. Here's the thing.
We have religion.
I just think somebody standing on a stage where you're in the crowd,
yeah,
and are proud to be there, happy to be there, no problem. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's a woman standing there who is just being blatantly Islamophobic in the most blatant, obvious, undeniable, uncontestable manner.
I think you're wrong, Piers. And I think that, you know, I think you have to be a little bit more critical in the way that you're, you know, happy to, with very broad strokes, paint something. And this is something that not only you do, lots of people do it, where anything where the root, the first letters of Islam is mentioned, there's this heightened sensitivity.
That's just,
oh, Lord, please not say anything against
Judaism. Let's not say anything. And Israel?
Well, you can see that they are the most targeted ethnic group in the UK, by far. We can see that the hate crimes against Jews are beyond everything else. They are 10 times the amount of attacks against Muslims.
So that's complete
nonsense. By that comparison, no, that's British police.
That's a lie.
No, that's British police statistics.
I mean, you're a professional liar. You're lying now.
By that number, you could make that assumption. But I think you're doing the same mistake here. That woman, who again, I don't know who she is, and I don't know where she comes from, but when she chose to say Islam, the religion, and not Muslims, I think that's it.
What do you think she meant then? To keep Islam out of our body politic?
Well, I think she makes a point of having, you know, keeping Britain British in the sense of that church is separated from power, something that you did about 1,900 years ago, 900 years ago, and that you have religious freedom.
Why are you defending this, Jonathan? I don't understand.
Jonathan, can
Why
I just
am
say...
I defending it? Yes. Because I believe, as someone who lives in the Middle East, and unlike perhaps you and others here, who don't yet understand the problems with institutional Islam, I think that you have yet, you don't really understand what's at stake here. If you let Islamists take over institutions, that is exactly what they will do, and they will use your system
against
you.
But she didn't say
you.
Islamist. She said Islam.
So first of all, I think, Jonathan, it's an extremely strange ship for you to want to go down with. This. You could have easily just said, I condemn that, but generally I didn't find that. I thought you would, actually, because I think you do a good impression of a reasonable person.
Because we all know, if it had been at the other...
Come on with the condescending nonsense.
Well, but Jonathan, if it had been at the other one and she said, I want Judaism removed from all political levels of the country, you'd have gone nuts, rightly.
Okay. I think there's something really big that Jonathan was pointing to here. Islam is, as a religion, and I've said this many, many times, Islam as a religion believes in taking control of the entire world, in governance. That is the goal of Islam. The goal of Christianity is for everyone to accept Jesus. Okay, and that's a generalization. I know in the comments last time I said that, someone said, well, it's also the goal for people to live a certain way, fine. But basically, it's about faith, okay? The goal of Judaism is for the entire world, like the universal goal, is for the entire world to know the God of Israel, okay? That's the end game of Judaism. For the entire world to know the God of Israel, not to become Jews, but to know the God of Israel, not to govern anyone except ourselves. The goal of Islam is the submission of the entire world to Islam, which means submission. The governance of the entire world, meaning you either become a Muslim or you live as an official dhimmi, second-class citizen in the world. And so this actually quite literally, not as an insult or as an epithet, quite literally there is a political goal of Islam. Judaism has zero agenda about affecting the laws of other countries. There's no Judaism agenda, that religion has no agenda politically in other countries. And when Charlie Kirk famously tweeted, and it was retweeted millions and millions of times, one line, Islam is not compatible with Western civilization. That's what Charlie was talking about. Islam does not believe in the freedom of the individual, that type of autonomy of the individual. They don't believe in that. So the basic rights that Western civilization are built on are not consistent with Islam's agenda.
I bring you greetings from the United States of America. It is such an honor to be with you today. It is really an amazing thing to see you all stand up. And I come here to stand with you shoulder to shoulder because of people like Tommy and people like you that have shown the courage to speak and stand when so few will.
Just before we go on, I want to make note of the flags you see here. You see these are Iranian pre-revolutionary flags. That's what these flags are here. And that's also an awareness that it's all worldwide. It's all one battle. It is the battle between Judeo-Christian, Western civilization, and what we stand for, and Islam. And the Persian people who want to be freed from the regime want to be part of our civilization. All right, let's go on.
I will tell you that I am here today, like you, not to stand against anything and hate, not to stand for hatred, but to stand for the most revolutionary idea in human history, that all men are created equal, and not because of a king or parliament says it, but because we are all endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights. Those rights cannot be taken from us by government or religion. No ideology can take them away. They are life and liberty and the right to speak your mind and to speak truth. The right to worship or not worship according to your conscience. Equal justice under the law. These words come from...
Notice the Israeli flag here also.
...from our American Declaration of Independence, but they were born here on this soil. They were born here in England, the meadows of Runnymede with a Magna Carta. They were born in the English common law that says even the king is not above the law. In the covenant faith of the Scottish people, the stubborn independence of the freeborn Englishmen who said they will never bow to a tyrant. These are the principles that built the freest, most prosperous civilization the world has ever known. And Sharia law cannot abide by it.
Yep.
Sharia law cannot live side by side. It does not see all men that are created equal. It does not practice and protect the right to leave that faith or even criticize that faith. It does not grant equal dignity to every daughter and every son under the law. And where Sharia law advances as a parallel system, our hard-fought rights retreat. And history has shown it time and time again. Our shared failure on both sides of the Atlantic is that we forgot where our rights come from. We have treated liberty as something automatic, something in the air that we breathe, instead of the sacred inheritance that needs to be taught and defended and lived by each and every generation. But that forgetting has opened the door. But the good news is, the uniting hope is that it's not too late to remember. We can, beginning now, teach our children again that those God-given rights, those truths are what makes us free. We can demand that every person that comes to our shore or the shores of any country in Western civilization, or those who are already here, that they must live under the same equal law that protects every citizen. One law, one standard of living, one standard for every man and every woman. And if we can do that, then we'll restore what made the West worth restoring and defending. Great Britain and the United States, we are not separate stories. We are not. We are branches of the same tree. The tree that is rooted in equality before God and the law. If we stand together on that foundation, not in anger, but in clarity, and the courage that you are showing today just for standing here, then our children will inherit not decline, but they will again inherit a brighter future, a civilization where every person can come here and walk these streets in safety, speak freely, and pursue happiness without fear. That is our fight. That is our inheritance. That is what will reunite all of us and renew the West. I am so happy to see all of your flags all in front. We have been told that we should be ashamed. We are not ashamed of our heritage. We have learned from our mistakes. We are proud that our shared heritage changed the world, healed the world, and fed the world. And as our president, President Lincoln, once said, with malice toward none and charity toward all, let us remember truly who we are. Raise your flags and raise your voices. As our president, George Washington, said at the beginning of our nation, let us raise a standard that the wise and the honest can repair. The event is in the hand of God. As the scriptures tell us, as for me and my house, we know who we serve. And as our current president, Donald Trump, might say, make England great again.
There you have it, folks. It's all one battle. It's all one fight, nationwide, worldwide, sorry, all over the world. What Israel's doing in the Middle East, what's happening in Africa between Christians and Muslims, what's happening in Europe, what you see there, what's happening in the United States, both in New York and in Texas and everywhere else. We are in the big confrontation. And we need to make it clear that we understand that this is all one fight.
You are listening to Just Right, broadcasting around the world and online. And just what is the best way to communicate it's all one fight? Well, by framing the global and domestic conflicts in terms of left and right, using the proper definitions in their proper contexts. When you do that, the polarities line up perfectly, no matter in which nation the principles of left and right are applied, and no matter the context of the discussion, whether religious, political, or just casual. Now, we've defined and described these principles in great detail on numerous past broadcasts, but for a quick refresher, or if this is all new to you, I would in particular recommend two past broadcasts, the most recent airing November 27, 2024, entitled Reverse Polarity, Righting the Political Compass. And in that show, we contrasted the language of the left and tyranny with the language of the right and freedom. For example, where the left would use the term equity, the right term is equality. Where the left would use majority rule, the right term is democracy, where no one rules anyone. The left opts for state ownership and control, the right is private property based. And of course, the left is always about censorship, the right about freedom of speech. And perhaps most importantly, for the left, the ends justify the means. To be on the right, one must understand that without exception, ends and means are always the same. And whether left or right, always as well remember that when we speak of government, what is being governed is the use of physical and legal force. And our second recommended broadcast on this theme aired June 22, 2017, entitled The Broken Political Compass, Compassing the Political Spectrum, Left and Right, where we demonstrated that the so-called political spectrum is a fiction. Both in theory and practice, it does not reflect political reality, and demonstrably so. Yet the so-called spectrum continues to be taught in our schools and used as a standard method of incorrectly contrasting left from right. This has caused untold confusion in the minds of millions, and perhaps has played a greater role than most would expect in the accelerating and tragic drift of nations to the left, towards communism and fascism. Now, if you noticed, it was very clear by Piers Morgan's inability, or more likely refusal, to distinguish between Islam and Muslims that he does not want to deal with ideas and ideologies, but rather with people who he can arbitrarily label and target without having to understand or address the polarized ideas that are the real topic of discussion at hand. As Asmund Gold put it earlier, it's the idea that's the problem. And Glenn Beck in his speech framed the political polarity in religious terms by calling it a battle between Judeo-Christian Western civilization and Islam. This is understandable and quite correct given the nature and context of the British protest event, both in that it was organized by Tommy Robinson and in the public reaction to crimes and other antisocial actions being seen as being carried out by Islamist activists. And when it comes to Charlie Kirk's quote, Islam is not compatible with Western civilization, I publicly made that very same statement decades ago. Nevertheless, I fear that always discussing the left-right conflict in terms of religion or even in strict terms of electoral politics somehow narrows the debate in such a way as to isolate the ideas from the current immediate visible conflict from that big one fight that is ironically defined by those ideas. So it all comes back to the question of what is the best way to communicate that it's all one fight. Well, being bored and ignoring the labels thrown at the right by the left is not a solution. It's part of the problem. And as I keep saying, in politics, the first rule is define or be defined. The moment one side allows the other to define it, the battle has already been lost. So what's the ultimate solution to the right's quote-unquote branding problem? Simply become the definer rather than the defined. Now, up next, an international trio of relevant quick takes about Britain's Unite the Kingdom rally. On this side of the bumper, Canada's Alexa Lavoie of Rebel News interviews Iranian activist Yunais Sadaghiani at the event, while Australia's Gabriella Power zeroes in on the far-right rhetoric, which some are beginning to view in a different light. And on the return side of the bumper, America's Patrick Bet-David and his panel apparently conclude that being constantly labeled far-right is boring. Sounds like an exciting discussion to me.
Yunais, so today you spoke for the Unite the Kingdom. What your speech was about?
You know, this whole rally is about uniting the whole world. It's not just about Unite the Kingdom, because we have the same enemies. You know, people try to call Tommy Robinson a racist, which is not true, because I'm Iranian, and you know, he's got millions of Iranian friends. The problem is, in the West now, we have an unholy marriage of Marxism and Islamism, and people like Keir Starmer support it. They ban speakers from attending this rally because they see them as a threat. That is tyranny, that is dictatorship, that is racism itself. Actually, because they try to call us racist, but they're the racist themselves, because if you're a certain person with a certain color, they expect you to have a certain opinion, which is racism itself. Look, this is a global movement. It's not just about uniting the kingdom. Iranians are with Tommy, Israelis are with Tommy, Canadians like yourself, Americans. We stand on the right side of history. We stand with the truth. We don't stand with censorship. There should be a free flow of ideas in the world. And whoever tries to censor you are the bad guys. You know, yesterday we were together at Whitechapel when there was someone saying, behead all the Jews on camera like this, yeah?
You man are gonna get beheaded one by one, you dirty Jews. And we got Palestine.
No.
Yeah?
What are you gonna
tell him?
Free Palestine.
Yeah,
free Palestine.
From the river to the sea, blood.
Now, can you imagine if someone from the Tommy Robinson rally came and said, let's behead all the Muslims? That person would be arrested straight away and put in prison. People are put in jail for a Facebook post. Yeah? So why are there Islamists walking around in London saying behead all the Jews on camera and nothing happens to them? Why is that? We want the best for everyone. We want the world to be prosperous. We want the world to be free. But then there are certain ideologies that stop you from having that. And one of them is Islamism, another one is Marxism or wokeism, and another one is censorship. You need freedom of speech in society in order for it to thrive.
You talk about censorship. Yeah. Keir Starmer literally revoked visas of people to attend this rally.
Yeah. It's dictatorship. It's literally like what Stalin used to do. They say call him Stalin Starmer. It's actually true. So you are scared of people to come and speak. You're scared of the flow of the information. They have facial recognition here to facially recognize people that attend this rally. Why is that? Yet you don't have it for the pro-Palestinians. Oh, I know why, because pro-Palestinians always cover their faces. You know? We don't cover our faces here. We don't need to cover our faces. This is an look, Great Britain was one of the greatest empires in the world. Now it's not. It's going downhill in the world ladder in terms of power. No one takes us seriously, and it's because of leaders like Keir Starmer.
Hello, I'm Gabriella Power. Welcome to Power Hour, and thank you for joining us. Well, despite Keir Starmer's best efforts to stop patriots from taking to the streets of London, look how many people figured they're better off ignoring him. This footage shows the enormous crowds marching towards Parliament Square at this event organised by Tommy Robinson. And among those in attendance was Aussie star Holly Valance, who did not hold back with her message. Well, Keir Starmer went out of his way to label some of the people there racist and thugs. But also look at the way the media has covered this rally. No surprises, really. But let's look at Reuters, for example. This headline: thousands march in London's Unite the Kingdom far-right rally. I mean, plenty of other outlets labelling this a far-right rally as well. Well, Holly Valance has hit back at this suggestion too.
I think it's hilarious that right-wing's supposed to be an insult. I'm absolutely right-wing. Call me far-right. All right. It's not an insult anymore. It's hilarious that anyone would think it is. It just goes to how wet the nation's become.
Plenty of issues in the UK, that's for sure. Also in attendance was American YouTube star Nick Shirley, who's, of course, pretty famous for exposing fraud in Minnesota and California, and he delivered this message at the rally.
Your media will call you far right, and your prime minister will call you guys dangerous. But the ideas of freedom of speech are not dangerous, or the idea that you want to know who your neighbor is does not make you dangerous. It means that you have common sense.
There is no denying that the people of Britain have had enough, and being labelled far right is not going to stop anyone, really, from taking to the streets. We've seen that. Now, Prime Minister Keir Starmer claims that this rally was all about peddling hate, labelling people there racist. This is an insight into some of the people who are actually there.
Keir Starmer called the organisers of the Unite the Kingdom march thugs and racists, peddling hate and division.
It makes no sense. I've got Asian friends, I've got black friends. It's the immigration is the problem.
We want the correct message being said on there, yeah. Not the fake message that, you know, we hate everyone and we're racist, because we're not, you know.
I've not heard anyone say anything like that today.
No, not one bit. No. So we want the correct message that we're just here for our country and everyone to be united.
Yeah, I think those attacks just don't land anymore, do they?
UK, Keir Starmer, rough weekend. I think it's fair to say this is a rough weekend for Keir.
Understatement.
I'm not talking personal life. I'm talking like it was a rough weekend for him with what happened. So this is London, all because of one guy. Some call him, he says, I'm a small guy, but he's got a big heart. Tommy Robinson. Look at this. Look at this. And they're like, nah, it was only 5,000. Nah, it was only 50,000. Nah, it was only 100,000. I don't know how many it is. But the way Rob is zooming this out slowly, like it's foreplay. He's not going fast to show you. Look at this as it gets all the way out.
That is banana.
How many people showed up? Rob, can you just zoom out a little bit faster to see where it's at? Look at this. And by the way, look at this. Vinny, that's crazy.
I thought that was his AI.
Wow. That's crazy on what happens.
Good for you, UK.
Is this Keir Starmer responding to it?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Rob.
Tomorrow's march in London is a reminder of what we're up against in the
what
battle
we're up
of our
against.
The organisers, including convicted thugs and racists,
doesn't want to say
are peddling
Tommy
hatred
Robinson.
And division. Plain and simple.
Can you get to the tweet saying that he's going to be stepping down? I don't know if you saw that or not. There's not even a tweet. I think there's stories saying that he will be stepping down here anytime. There was even videos of him walking and just walking very fast to get away from all the people. Is that it, Rob, with Trump commenting on Keir Starmer?
Yes.
And here's what the president had to say about it. Go ahead, Rob.
Starmer, the prime minister there, is in a lot of trouble. I know you were asked about this.
Well, he's in trouble for two reasons, energy and immigration.
Go down the resume of Keir Starmer. Just go down the amount of people that these guys arrest for just saying things online.
But look at this. Countries with most arrests for online comments. Number one, UK, 12,183. Mm. Belarus, 6,205. Germany, 3,500. China, 1,500. UK is more than China. Of course, if you trust China's data, what they report. And we're at 50. I want to know what those 50 were that got arrested here. But UK, 12,183 arrests for online comments.
So add that to the purposeful invasion. He wants to call it immigration. The people have had enough. With one of the main things, Pat, that people were saying was that he let in all these people. And then when these same people are raping the women, the children of freaking UK, it's no. You guys are racist. Don't talk about it as racist. Oh, the Pakistani rape gangs? That's the title of these people. We're not going to proceed to press charges and go after them because we don't want to look racist as a nation. Really? Try saying that to the mother or the father of the daughter that was raped by these Pakistani rape gangs that you let into the freaking country. And then you have people like Tommy Robinson screaming at the rooftops, he's racist. He's racist. You have peers on the show when he's holding up the Quran. He's like saying, this is the type of stuff that's in the Quran. Put that book down. You're racist. Enough. Enough. Okay? It's gone to the point, and there's only so much that people are going to take that they're going to do it. Good for him. He's not a leader. He's a weak, weak leader with all the freaking consequences, Pat, and I'm happy that he's done. Hopefully, they don't choose a guy that's just like him.
This was my favorite sign. Stop calling people racist when they don't agree with you is getting boring. The racist thing, the fascist thing, Trump's a king thing, it's just getting boring. We've heard it before. What Keir Starmer said, what I think people are so upset about is, and this is what Nick Shirley had to say, is they keep referring to the people that show up to this rally as far right. There's the far right, they're the far right. Here's what Nick Shirley said, and this is essentially what they're saying. He goes, these people are not far right. But at the end of the day, when you're calling the everyday British citizen far right just because they love their country and they want to fly their flag patriotically, it just is getting boring.
So boring that we just can't stop talking about it. But here's the catch. You can't make the label war go away simply by ignoring it. Biggest mistake those on the right could possibly make. I think it's a lot less about boredom than it is about frustration. The reality of the matter is that all of those stupid lefty labels continue to be effective because no one is challenging them at their root. When Yunez Sadaghiani very accurately described Britain's crisis being caused by an unholy alliance between Marxism and Islamism, bear in mind that both Marxism and Islamism are creatures of the left. And I loved it when he said that whoever tries to censor you are the bad guys. Because the beauty of that observation is that it's a universal truth. It works every time. It's a great barometer. Only liars need to censor. Truth is defendable on its own terms and always in the spirit of open discussion and freedom of speech. And the right should adopt the attitude of the woman who said, I think it's hilarious that right wing is supposed to be an insult. I'm absolutely right wing. Call me far right. Okay. Talk about a giant leap in the right direction. Combine that attitude with a concerted effort to be the definer in the game of political definitions, and the right would stop the left dead in its labeling tracks. But be sure to heed the warning we just heard on the PBD podcast. Starmer's done, but hopefully they don't choose a guy that's just like him. Yeah, remember, that's exactly what Canadians were anticipating when the rumors of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's demise were circulating. And Canada went from the frying pan of socialism into the fire of Mark Carney's Marxist carnage. When Yunez categorized the ideas against freedom, he grouped them thusly. We want the world to be free, but there are certain ideologies preventing that. Islamism, Marxism, wokeism, and censorship. And once again, we see the polarity. Islamism is on the left, Marxism is on the left, wokeism is on the left, and censorship is on the left. And I'm sure that there are other isms that we've left out. I found it interesting, though, that Patrick Bet-David noticed that Keir Starmer framed the protest in terms of, quote-unquote, what we're up against. Because if ever there was a declaration of war against the people of Britain, Keir Starmer made it with that statement. Now, of course, the real battle of Britain that Tommy Robinson was referring to was Britain's upcoming 2029 elections. So don't be surprised how quickly our memory of this event will have faded by then. And we don't want that to happen. It's already hard to recall just the events of the past 2 weeks or so. So with that challenge in mind, let's all try to remember to get together again only 1 week from now, when we will continue our journey in the right direction. And until then, be right, stay right, do right, act right, think right, and be right back here. We'll see you then.
Fade into color, color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be all right.
Hello, London. How you doing? You well? Yay! Nice. Nice to be here. I should probably point out that my head looks a bit mental. I know it does. Basically, what happened was the way I thought would be best to deal with the current situation in Britain was to get a lobotomy. Keir Starmer's doing a great job. The BBC displays a wide range of opinions, and multiculturalism seems to be working very well. Oh, this thing's a fucking godsend. Oh, I can fit right in. It's amazing.